Welcome to Show Yourself, a podcast about managing through hardship and maintaining strong mental health. We encourage you to come as you are with an open mind and an open heart. My name is Sam.
And my name is Maggie. We're excited to embark on this journey with you, but first we have some important information and disclaimers that need to be shared. One, because of the nature of this podcast, we will be covering potentially triggering themes such as alcohol use and disordered eating. This podcast is not meant to glorify or romanticize any aspects of the recovery journey. However, details of our personal experiences may be used to help provide insight to the process.
Two, we are not licensed mental health professionals. We have not received prior training in the field of substance abuse or clinical psychology. The only thing we can speak to is our past and present as we have dealt with these struggles firsthand. We can speak about treatments and strategies that have worked for us, and also what hasn't worked for us. So please take any advice or discussion as you see fit. We're rolling. We are cooking with gas.
Hello. Sorry, I got distracted. Spotify is going to tell me who I've been listening to the longest, so that's pretty interesting. I was listening to Drake before everyone else got put on.
I think I was listening to Drake as well.
I got made fun of for listening to Drake.
I remember seeing something like that on Spotify.
Yeah, well, I wanted to, like, look up how many episode numbers we had, and it just didn't let me skip this one.
Oh.
Like, skip this prompt. So here we go. This is our 5th episode!
Okay, we're on episode 5.
What an intro.
I know. So silly.
Yep.
Well, it's been a couple days since I've seen you, so...
Hey!
Hey!
How's it going?
It's going.
Good. Look different.
I do?
You have the fresh, nice, dewy face of someone who hasn't had to deal with me in a while. What's our check-in topic?
Our check-in topic today is social media.
Rabble, rabble. Yeah, so... We've mentioned social media a while ago. First episode. Bitching about the soch meads.
Probably. I know I had it in my notebook. Like, in my Show Yourself notebook.
All it said was social media.
Well, yeah, because I was like, potential check-in topics.
It's just, like, so broad, you could say.
It is very, very broad.
For
hours.
There's
a lot of things that...
I think we should keep it to Instagram.
Just Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll keep it to Instagram.
Because, man, social meds, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's a lot. And Instagram in itself...
is a lot.
In and of itself is a lot. Yes. So, what are your thoughts on using Instagram in recovery, or maybe not using Instagram in recovery?
Well, I was going to say, like... with drinking, it's such a socially accepted thing that you're encouraged to post pictures of your cocktails or of your beers. There's pages dedicated to just drinking, like meme culture and stuff like that. It's like really easy to get bombarded with anything really, but with drinking, it's just like almost like a universal thing. Like, yeah, there's like a big bar brewing community, there's a big community for anything. Most people drink, you know, so you see it a lot. And with quarantine, it was tough because like the to-go alcohol orders were all the rage, you know, so everyone was drinking, and like people were just drinking a lot during quarantine. So it was like every story was like, oh, they're drinking a margarita, this person's taking a shot, and blah blah blah, this and that. It wasn't until I started this podcast with you that I added, like, a bunch of these, like, sober living Instagrams. And I didn't even think about it beforehand, but they're great. Now I follow, like, 10.
Are there any that come to mind that stand out to you? Like, is there any...
Oh, boy. This Naked Minds. But from
again!
There, but from there, I've gotten a few. So I can find them. Because I've gotten a few that are also good ones since then. There's Busy Living Sober. And, there's Sober Girl Society, which I think is really important, because there is definitely... I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a straight girl in this world of going out to bars and stuff, but I feel like, from the outside looking in, I feel like young, straight, like, 20-something-year-olds have a pretty tough time with, like, drinking way too much, and them not being in the conversation of, like, sobriety and stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know? But I don't personally live that life.
Sure.
And it has nothing to do with me. But I thought that was a good Instagram page. And, yeah, pretty much this Naked Mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the ones that you mentioned will include in our Instagram stories and in the post information for...
Yeah,
this particular
so
episode, that way you can follow
Is
them.
Is that where you were getting at with that? That was a good one.
Yeah, because you know what? I think it's important to use social media in a way that is responsible, not just for yourself, or I'm sorry, not just for other people, but also for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for people to not feel so much pressure to not engage in social media all the time, because sometimes I feel like when any big or significant event is happening in your life, whether it's you are pursuing sobriety or a new mental wellness journey, or maybe you're experiencing a breakup or something, I always feel like the go-to cure or remedy for that is to delete social media. And for some people, not being on social media is entirely their way of life, and that's all they know. But for someone
like
me...
your mom.
yeah, like, my mom is not on social media. She used to be for like, a little bit of time. But since getting her new phone, she hasn't been on it at all.
That's
you know?
Awesome.
But for other people, using social media is a way that helps foster and build connections.
Yeah.
And it's not always feasible to completely delete your information or your accounts or delete
and it's
the apps
not
or
the
whatever.
Devil either.
No, like,
because I always talk at least at work, where I'm always like, oh, social media ruins everything. But really, social media is also there to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunately sometimes those people being brought together shouldn't be. But we're not going to talk about that. But I'm just saying, you know, with drinking and other things, like, sometimes you just gotta unfollow. Like, you are responsible for what you consume, and I think you have to know when what you're consuming isn't right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you wouldn't go and look up the FitFam hashtag.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
Yeah, and I'm not going and, like, Googling, you know, like, vodka luge, ice luge hashtag, you know? I'm just not gonna do it. So you kind of have to be the, what's
like,
the word?
You have to be the moderator for what
it
is that
exactly.
you're consuming.
Yeah.
And
the bouncer.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And absolutely. Sometimes you gotta bounce.
Sometimes you just gotta...
Bounce! Dorise.
Oh, that was awful.
That
I commend
really
you for it.
Thank
anyway.
You so much.
You're welcome.
But I cut you off, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right, don't worry. I was just speaking to... including those accounts in our own Instagram, but also maybe in our show notes, if I can figure out how to do that. That way people can access those if they're so inclined, because I think part of the wellness journey is finding resources that can help you engage in social media in a way that's effective, that's healthy, and that makes you feel more comfortable making these decisions to change and to live a life that will better serve you for your health and your happiness in the long run. And I have a bunch that I can share in regards to the disordered eating or health at every size kind of initiative, because I think that's important for people to expose themselves to, even if it's something you're not familiar with. If you just follow one account, it can help diversify your feed and get you looking into other perspectives about what body image means, and things like that. So yeah, I'll find those idea. In a minute. But in terms of social media, I don't want to like just start venting about every bad experience I've had on Instagram or whatever in regards to eating disorder related things, because I feel like that would be the whole hour. But also, I don't know that it's effective for me to just sit here and talk about everything that I've endured online, because I think everybody has endured that. Yeah,
I think
that,
what it should be is like your solutions.
Like the solutions, absolutely. Like looking towards or looking for ways to help navigate those really murky waters that can happen, you know, that happen or that you find online.
Yeah.
So, of course, my first tip is going to be to block any content that you don't like or that you know, for your own wellness. I'm not saying, like, block things that you don't like. Like, if something challenges your point of view, I don't want you to be like, well, I'm blocking this because 'cause you don't want to be faced with something that might be uncomfortable. But in terms of, let's say, like, if I'm scrolling through Instagram, and this happens on my personal account all the time when I go to explore and I look at all of the different videos or pictures that are being targeted towards me, they're always about weight loss. And I don't know why, because I don't follow any weight loss accounts, but they're always about that. So I'll look at certain things that are popping up on my feed, and if I find something particularly jarring, I will go to the account and just block them. That way I don't have to see it anymore. And I'm sure there'll be similar accounts that will pop up into my Explore, and then I'll know.
Do you think you could go to the page and do the dot, 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 and then like show me less? Is there a possibility of like
there
that on Instagram?
There might be. I don't know. I know on Twitter what you can do is report things. So oftentimes if I'm getting, I know we said that we were only speaking about Instagram, but if I get like a targeted diet ad on Twitter, I'll go to it and like report it and say that it's like harmful or something. And usually
you're the
Twitter...
internet Karen.
And usually Twitter will come back and be like, no, it's not. And I'm like, but it is, because it's telling me that I'm not good enough the way I am. And
oh,
it's telling
boy.
Me to...
Let me talk to your manager.
Let me talk to
Twitter.
Your manager. But
yeah, no, I totally understand.
You know what I mean? Like, I really, I
but
know.
At least with ads, you can say like, I want to see less of this on Facebook.
Right, with that's Facebook. On Instagram,
I don't know
Instagram's about that.
The same way.
I don't know. But I do know that when I see accounts or whatever that I just can't get behind, I will hit that block button, because I know that I don't want to see it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens even not solely with accounts that come up in my feed that I don't know why they're there. Sometimes I'll like be following, because I practice yoga and I follow a good amount of yoga related posts or accounts or whatever, but even those sometimes can be pretty triggering. So when I see things that I'm like, I don't think I could look at this anymore, I just...
Well, yoga I think is very closely linked to like hashtag FitFam.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so, for sure.
You know,
it's like that... that market or that image of only like thin, tall, white ladies can do this, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it can get pretty pretty toxic pretty quickly. So
I don't eat anything but leaves from trees shorter than 2 feet tall.
Real quick, I'm just gonna start sharing some accounts that if you're interested in exploring a sort of like a more body acceptance or food freedom side of Instagram, I strongly encourage you to check out these folks. So the first I have is called Mary's Cup of Tea. And this is an account of a young woman who was in the pageant
circuit.
Yeah, like, I don't really... I follow her, and now I'm, like, trying to plug her, and I don't even really know the entirety of her story.
It doesn't matter.
But she was a young girl in her teens who was in bathing suit competitions or swimsuit competitions and struggled with disordered eating for a long time, and now she plugs a lot of pieces about her her road to body acceptance and food freedom. So she posts a lot of pictures of, like her body... looking and like very natural, like she's very body friendly.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about her is that she is a white woman and recognizes her privilege, and knows that even in this newer recovery body that she has, that there is still a lot of privilege within it. So she's definitely into that sort of intersectional acceptance movement, which I think is really important for people to see, that that body love and self-love extends to all people, not just like young white girls with eating disorders, because I feel like that's the only demographic you hear from when people are talking about eating disorders.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I know I'm not really helping because I am a I'm not really young, but a white person.
You're old.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I remember, now I'm going way off topic, but I remember being in my partial hospitalization program or my IOP, and that was, I want to say 6 years ago, and I was one of the older girls there, and I was 23 at the time, you know?
That's crazy.
Like, it's weird to think about, and even now, I'm like, well, I'm not in that demographic of what you normally think of when someone is struggling with an eating disorder, although I don't, you know, entirely miss that quote-unquote mark. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. I'm really getting off topic here, but there's also one other chick I want to share, and I know that there's so many more, so please don't feel like these are the only two accounts that speak to self-love and body acceptance and celebrating the way that you are, exactly the way that you are, without having to change anything. There are so many more that I can definitely link in our Instagram stories or even in an Instagram post. But another one that I really, really like is called I'm going to butcher this. Okay, I found it. Body Posi Panda. So... Body and then Posi, P-O-S-I, and then Panda, like panda bear.
Can you spell that, please?
Do you want me to spell panda?
And use it in a sentence.
J-K-Q-X-R-R-R.
R. We're laughing at an old Will Forte sketch from last night. It was so good.
He had to spell the word building, right? And it was like... B U I D D D Q W U X R S. Like, I don't think he thought.
I wouldn't have ever let you stop. If you just kept going, that would have been the whole podcast, because it's so funny to me.
It was really funny.
And
to
it's
me
in, like,
too.
A very Will Forte-esque style. It's so good.
We should put that in our show notes as well. Just here you go. If you want to laugh,
yeah, check just out watch this. SNL's Will Forte sketch.
But hold on, I'm coming back. I didn't. We're not going too far off the rails here. So body potty. Oh my god, I'm so sorry, Megan Jane Crab. So posi panda. See, I'm messing it up again.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna use my announcer's voice.
Okay.
So you should definitely check out Body Posi Panda, BodyPosi. PANDA.
Very nice.
Megan Jane Crab.
So, again, I'm plugging her, and I don't really know too much about her other than I think she's from Britain. I'm going off of what I see in her videos. And she promotes body acceptance, body positivity, obviously, because that's part of her her username handle, and she exists in a larger body and just shares her journey towards accepting what her body looks like and embracing what her body looks like. And it's really refreshing and heartwarming to see her content, because I feel like very often when you see an image of someone who is fat, who is existing in a larger vessel, you don't see them happy. You usually see them miserable, trying to lose the weight.
Like before and after photos?
Yes, like before and after. Or, I mean, that's why you have stupid ass shows like The Biggest Loser and dumb shit like that. So it's really important to see someone who exists in the body that she's in and embracing that body, and telling people, like, if you don't, I don't even want to say if you disagree, because you can't disagree with a someone's literal physical form, but like if you are freaked out by the way I look, you can go fuck yourself. And I think that's amazing. And there's a lot of other Instagram influencers or accounts that speak to that importance of loving yourself at any size. But especially at the plus size. So, I just wanted to share those two, because those are two that I follow on my feed. Nice. And
I think that's it for social media talk.
I think so. We could really dive into it and, like, really take a deep dive into it. And we just don't want to go there, because it's too much, and everybody can do that. You know, you can do that on your own.
You go home. You and go bitch home. About social media.
You
to
can
your
do
family.
It by yourself. But it's true that it's. I don't think, other than the resources that we offer, I don't know that what we would have to say about social media would be anything revolutionary or different. Because I think a lot of people have very similar thoughts about this, especially if you're going through recovery for any sort of mental illness. You know, I think you're going to see things online that society tries to push at you that you don't agree with. So we don't want to really talk too much about that. We just wanted to share the ways to navigate it and give solutions to helping you kind of figure that out. So,
yep.
So that brings us to our letters.
Do you want to go first?
Well, I'll read it, because you know what? I feel like I haven't read a letter in a hot minute, and I want to hear my voice. No, I'm kidding. No, it's okay. Do you want to read it? You can read
it.
No,
you read it. I'm cool.
All right, so hold on.
Oh, she's not even prepared.
I'm getting it. Long time listener, first time caller, winky face. Thanks for listening to us, Pete. We appreciate it. One of the things I have been struggling with lately is the shame and guilt I associate with my past behavior when I was drinking. If either of you have dealt with a similar fallout, how have you reconciled with these feelings? So what do you think?
By not giving a fuck. No. By cutting myself some slack, babe. I am loud enough for this microphone to pick me up.
Okay.
By cutting myself some slack, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've done plenty of things that I'm not proud of when I was drinking, you know, but what am I going to do? Think about it all day?
Forget about it.
You got to forget about it.
Great advice.
Thank you.
We should just drop the mic here.
Forget about it. No, I want to say the right things, because this question comes from someone that means a lot to me.
Sure, of course.
And I've known him for a very long time. And when he was telling me that he had previously stopped drinking, only like very recently, which I'm so happy about, he was talking about the things that he did while he was still drinking. And I was like, oh my God, that's me. I've never had someone so closely linked in, like, our habits and our behaviors and our thought processes as well. Like, he'd do the same thing that I would do. Like, mm-hmm. He'd buy little things of vodka or whatever and be like, all right, well, this is enough, and I won't drink anymore. But then the next thing you know, like, you're just going out and getting some more. I do that all the time. Oh, my God. So I want to say the right things. I have done a lot of stupid things drunk. I have burned a lot of bridges and blew up interpersonal relationships and stuff. And the guilt is strong, but also the longer you spend away from it, the more, you know, the more you practice forgiveness and cutting yourself some slack, and the more time away from it, you start to realize that, like, everybody does stuff that they're ashamed of.
Absolutely.
Everybody sometimes wakes up in the morning, even not after drinking, and being like, oh my God, what did I say? What did I do? Like, there's memes about people going to bed and thinking about all the embarrassing things from high school. That happens while I'm cutting hair. I'll be like, cutting hair, and then I'll cringe, and people will be like, what happened? I'm like, no, I just thought about something that I did in high school. You know, just...
Oh my God,
please. Yeah, so, like, I think it's definitely, like, a human response to anything, the shame. But I can understand from the drinking side, because I drink until I was an asshole. And at the time, I thought it was funny. And, you know, a few days later, I'd wake up, like, with the fear. And I'm like, oh, boy. And that's, like, one of the reasons why I don't do it anymore. I couldn't handle that feeling anymore. So, like I said, forget about it. No. It's so bad. I also saw someone post a few days ago talking about, like, you have to leave the past in the past to move forward.
Yep.
And you also, as long as you go and you apologize and you do the things and you've made the changes, clearly, to not act like that again, no one should really be allowed to make you dredge that up. And the minute it starts to come up, like, well, back then, be like, listen, stop right there. That was the past. I'm trying to move forward. I can't move forward if I'm anchored.
Especially if that person has already given you forgiveness for something.
Yeah.
Like, that's also a thing. That's straight up manipulative to forgive somebody and then bring up their wrongdoings.
Yeah.
At some
that,
other point.
That was, like, something I saw on a forum, but what the lady wrote in response, like, saying, you know, I can't move forward if I keep hanging on to the past, is really all I want to take from that. You know what I mean? Because that whole thing is, like, that's situational.
Sure, sure.
You know? And his letter said that he was feeling shame. No one was making him feel shame.
Okay.
But I think that that answer to that, like, question I was just talking about could be placed here. You can't move. You have to look forward. And that's it for me on that one. It's because I went through it. I went through the guilt. I went through the shame, like, multiple times. And it just took one day for me to just be like, listen, like, it is what it is.
It's so true. And I think that I know, Pete, that you brought this question up in regards to your actions while you were drunk or while you were drinking. But I really feel like this sort of response that Maggie shared and that I'm going to share, because my answer is very, very similar, can be extended to almost any situation in life, as long as there is accountability on your part. Like, I don't believe that there's any reason to feel shame over poor choices that you've made in the past, as long as you're not, like, I don't know, a member of the KKK. Like,
yeah.
Like, what I mean is that, so you made maybe a decision or a bunch of decisions that you're not proud of. So have I when I was sober. Like, I've done things. I've treated friends in ways that I am not proud of. I've said things in the heat of the moment out of anger instead of trying to really sit and process my feelings. And it's because I'm human and I can really, I know I'm going to say something here that you'll never, ever hear me say. It's because I'm not perfect and I fuck up sometimes. But I try my best to take onus of that, to maintain accountability for that. When I need to apologize for something that I've done, I do that. And then, even though it is so hard, because it's really hard for me and for a lot of people to sit with the aftermath, I try my absolute best. And sometimes it comes down to literally repeating phrases in my head over and over and over again, but I try my absolute best to give myself the grace to do better and move on and say, this decision that I made is one that I made in the past. Maybe I was drunk when I made it, because Lord knows, if you check my social media activity from like 2010 to 2015, it's all pretty bad, like, because I was drunk and I was posting dumb shit, like, and I'm glad that you can't find it because it's all gone, but like like, if I'm, you know, if I'm looking back on any decision that I made, anything that I've ever said that I'm not happy about, that I'm not proud of, I try to give myself the space to say, I did this, I'm apologizing to that person, and then I'm going to forgive myself and move on. And now I'm hopeful that my interactions with people are a lot more mindful, that they're, that I try to even extend, I hope, to the best that I can, empathy to other people when they blow up at me. Because I don't, you know, I've been there, so I don't want to, I know that I'm going off on like a little bit of a tangent of like anger, it sounds like, and interpersonal kind of things. So I don't mean to do that completely, but I just mean to,
but it fits.
To say that you've done something that you're not proud of. Everybody on this planet and their mother has done the same exact thing. Or has been in the same exact predicament, where they feel that they've done something or have behaved or acted or said something in a way that isn't in alignment of who they truly are.
Yeah.
And it's okay, because that's what people do sometimes. Sometimes people fuck up. So, Pete, I would just encourage you to try to forgive yourself, even in really small internal corny ways. If it comes down to like repeating something in your head like multiple times a day, sometimes that's literally what I have to do, to just be like, I need to move past this because it's done and I can't change it.
Yeah,
right? I can't go back. I wish I could. Sometimes I really wish I could go back and relive different days of my life or even segments of my life and make better decisions, but I can't. And the only thing I can do is continue to be aware of that and make better decisions, or more effective decisions, for me and for people around me.
On a personal note,
yes,
Pete, I love you, and you're a rock star, and you're kicking butt.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to focus on.
I agree.
And also, I'd be more surprised if you said I was wrong, not I'm not perfect.
Oh.
I was wrong would have a bigger effect on me than you saying you're not perfect.
But I'm never wrong.
Yeah, that's why I was... Our next question is from Angie from Chicago.
Holla.
Holla. What's the best way to support someone who's going through substance abuse or an eating disorder? That's tough.
It's tough for a lot of reasons. One, because I don't think we could possibly narrow it down to just one best way, although I wish I really could, and my brain of, you know, that likes to
You can't say that word, can you?
Compartmentalize.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that was Steve trying to say it the other night.
Oh, well, I can't say it either.
Yeah, no one in this house can say compartmentalize.
But, like, in my brain that is always looking for the best of whatever, right? The most effective, the coolest. I can't give you one best way. And also because people are different.
Yeah.
Right? So what works for one person may not work for somebody else. What do you think, Max?
I think, honestly, open communication.
Mm.
And I just tend to agree. Asking.
Yeah, buddy.
Sometimes it's easier to just ask. And then you're pretty open with me with things. If I were to say stuff in the beginning, you'd be like, hey, just so you know, this makes me feel a certain way when you say this. And I just take it out of my lexicon. It's not that big of a deal. But that's just that, you know, and it's hard for me to say how to support me with the not drinking, because I don't want people to not drink around me.
Sure.
Like, to not feel like they can't have fun.
Right.
I mean, first, obvious ones, don't hand me a drink.
Right.
That makes... Like,
absolutely.
It's not that hard. Maybe, like, checking in on me, but I also don't like to be felt like I'm being oversought. You know what I mean? I don't want people...
Really? I love when people check in with me.
Really?
Because it makes me feel cared about. Like...
Yeah, no, I'd rather just, like, affirmation instead of... I don't want to feel like I'm getting questioned.
Okay, that's fair. I totally understand that. But I am different from you in that way.
Yeah, like, see? We're different.
Like, I really... I appreciate...
You appreciate someone checking in.
Right, and asking me how I'm doing. Or, just whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Or even just saying that they're thinking of me. Because I feel like, especially in... this quarantine, crazy, cuckoo bananas world we're living in, it's so easy to feel disconnected and to feel like everybody, and it's true that everyone, I feel like if you're struggling with anything, whether it's a mental illness or whatever it is, it probably got amplified in this really crazy fucking time that we're in right now. And I know certainly it did for me. Like, I was just talking to my therapist on Friday of last week that my eating disorder, it has, like, reverted back to these, like, ungodly behaviors and ungodly dumb stuff that that I haven't seen in years because, like, because of the pandemic, like, my life totally changed. And a lot of people are in that boat or in that situation or in a similar situation. So I'm not saying, like... Hey, if you're my friend, like, can you text me every day and ask me how I'm doing? Because, like, I know a lot of my friends listen to this, and that's not what I am asking.
Saying, yeah.
That's not what I'm asking for. That's not what I expect. It's just a nice reminder that, like, when I'm feeling really, really disoriented or alone, that people are here for me. In fact, I actually have a group chat with my two best girlfriends from high school, and it's so funny because I feel like I never see them, and I don't. Like, one of them lives in fucking Alaska. Hey, Sarah, I'm shouting you out. and the other, Jackie, lives in Queens, you know? So, and now I live out here. Like, I live far away from a lot of my friends from my hometown. And in a pandemic, we actually, like, maintained really stellar communication, and like we use our group chat as a means of checking in with each other and asking each other how we're doing and meaning it, not just saying it. Obviously, like, you don't do small talk with your friends, but like really asking each other how we're doing. And I always appreciate having that, you know. I think that's important. I would also say, and I can't speak for everybody with disordered eating or an eating disorder or whatever. Like, I can't speak for everyone here. But I know for myself that when people, like, make conversation with me about another person's weight loss, I get super, super angry. Because I know that in my life, losing weight is no longer an option for me. And then I start judging myself because, like, that idea of wanting to lose weight is a fatphobic idea, and dealing with fat phobia within this mental illness has been a really tough hurdle for me the past couple years. But I'll like, be really candid. So I had a conversation with someone recently who told me that someone that we knew in our life had lost a lot of weight, and she looked, quote unquote, good. And this is, like, coming from a person who knows me, like, so, so well. And I was like, why did you say...
Was it me?
No. imagine if it was like, yes, it was you.
This has turned into an episode of Maury. Let's air it out, bitches.
But it was like a moment where I was like, dude, like, and you know what? Like, it's probably on me that I didn't say in the moment that, like, that wasn't helpful. I just didn't really feel like it was worth it. So I just kind of acknowledged the comment and moved on. But it probably is worth it if I'm bringing it up now, you know, like on a podcast. So maybe it is something that I should say, you know, in the future if it were to happen again, not to like go back and be like, do you remember when you told me this? But yeah, I would definitely recommend that if you know you are, you know, like if you're just talking about dieting with someone who has an eating disorder or something, like it's not a great look.
Yeah.
And it can be kind of harmful or unhelpful, you know. So and I'm in the school of thought that everyone can benefit from a conversation about body positivity and body image, so that we're not always thinking about dieting and what it means to diet or to try to lose weight, because it is harmful to everyone, you know. It's harmful to people that do it, but it's also harmful to other people, or it's harmful to people who have larger bodies, who are fat, and it's tough to hear that. So
good job.
I don't know. But I would definitely agree with what Maggie said earlier. Open and honest communication with people in your life is a great, great first step to asking and really finding out what it is that person needs and how you can best support them. And if that person is kind of like reserved or isn't comfortable opening up, that's not on you to find out at that point what they need, right? Yeah. Because you open the door. You're not a mind reader. You're not a magician, you know, like, you open the door for that.
Goddamn magician.
Like, you tried to establish that connection and establish that line of communication. And sometimes people just aren't ready for it, you know? And if that's the case, you can say to yourself, I did what I could. When this person, is ready to share, or if this person is ready to share with me, they know that they can always rely on me, but I am not responsible for curing or fixing that person now. And you never are, even if they tell you what they need. But especially in that situation, you can't mind read. I know I said it already, and now, yeah, I'm just using the same terminology, but it's, you know, like,
no, I feel you.
You did what you could, and then you just continue trying to just be kind, I guess.
Empathetic.
Right? Yeah, and empathetic. For yeah, sure.
And ask. That's my only answer to that. That's a quick one. Ask.
Yeah. But thank you so much for writing, Angie.
I hope we helped.
I hope we cleared some of this up.
I feel like everyone's just asking us questions and we just go into tangents. But people like it.
We appreciate you writing in. We hope that you are safe in Chicago, and please recommend your favorite deep dish pizza places, because when quarantine's over, I really want to go to Chicago and get some deep dish pizza that I have to eat with a knife and a fork. We love you.
Agreed. All right.
So, where are we at now, Maggie?
Well, this is great, because we were deciding which questions we were going to choose, and we finally got around to Pete's, and I wanted to put a lot of thought into Pete's.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I did it justice, just because I feel so closely to him and also to his experience. And then I was trying to think of the affirmation of the day.
Okay.
And I picked one, and then when I looked at it and read the, what's this thing called? Caption. I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. what's this part of the thing called? So this is from, surprise surprise, Annie Grace and This Naked Minds Instagram page, and it's a quote that says, it's hard to realize the value of memories when you don't have them.
Ooh.
Okay. And then it's continued by drinking, I have stolen some of my life from myself. I rarely get regretful about drinking, as I am a huge believer in self-forgiveness. Yet I can't help thinking about and deeply regretting how many things I've missed over my decades of drinking.
Could you repeat that?
The green part?
No, not the green part. There was actually something within that affirmation, like in the caption, that when you said it, my jaw went like this. Ah, that's my jaw dropping, because I know you can't see it.
So
I kind of heard you take like a breath. And I would you kill me if I said my phone's not cooperating right now?
I looked at the ceiling. I was like, holy shit. So what was the first part of that caption again?
By drinking, I have stolen some of my life from myself.
Holy shit, guys.
That's why I follow her. That's why I listen to her.
Yeah, that's
Annie's
amazing.
A G.
I thought you were going to say genius, and then you just stopped at G. And I was like, yes.
Yes. She's amazing. I also like the fact that she tries to practice self-forgiveness, because we were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. It's just a better way of saying cutting yourself some slack.
Yep.
But it's so true. Why does that make you...
So why did that make me hit the floor? Because I think when you are experiencing any sort of mental illness or personal struggle that... you know is ruining your life, but you can't let go of it.
Yeah.
Like, you feel that in your core, that drinking has robbed you of parts of your life. I know for sure I feel like my disordered eating and mental illness, I mean, a lot of them, I have four. but, I know, it's like... But I know for sure my eating disorder has made me feel like parts of my life have been stolen from me because of how entrenched it was in my worldview, in my daily thinking patterns, my actions, behaviors, everything. And it reminded me of this picture. If I can find it, it's probably long gone, but if I can find it, I'll post it to our Instagram so other people can see it too. It was this picture of three skeletons in these in like coffins, and underneath each of the pictures of the skeleton in the coffin, it says quotes like, "I'm so glad I didn't eat that cake on my birthday."
Yeah.
Or, "Wow, I'm really happy I spent my entire life exercising compulsively every day." Or, you know, like those little moments in your life that you're supposed to be able to enjoy, your eating disorder, and certainly my eating disorder, stole that from me. And sometimes, especially in quarantine, still continues to do. And it's so painful to think back on that. And I'm saying that not to make myself or anyone else sound like a victim of our own minds, but to say that it's okay to be sad about those things. Like, it's okay to be really upset or bummed out or fucking angry that your struggle with alcohol or drug addiction or food or whatever makes you feel like that a part of your life has been taken from you.
Tooken.
Like, it's okay to feel that way. And if you do feel that way, I know I feel that way sometimes. You're certainly not alone. You know, I would say that seeing that quote from This Naked Mind suggests that we definitely aren't alone in that kind of thinking. So thank you for sharing that today. Because that really made me feel.
That made you feel something.
That made me feel a type of way.
I was gonna say that makes you feel a type of way. You hate that.
I know, I hate it so much.
I think she put it better than I could put it. But I'm just gonna go from like the physical standpoint of getting blackout drunk, doing stuff, and waking up the next morning and being like, wait, what? Or waking up in my pajamas and being like, how the fuck did I get here? At least I took care of myself. Like, those were nights I still could have. And, like, time is not infinite for us.
Especially now.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
TikTok, motherfuckers.
But
seriously, I think from like a literal standpoint of not remembering things and losing memory or... I'm going to go back to the main quote. It's hard to realize the value of memories when you don't have them. And it's true. I think that over drinking and getting drunk and experiencing a lot of the things I've experienced in my life have less importance and value to me because I was hardly even there for it. Was I really even there? You know, I, like, physically I was, but
mentally,
yeah, I could tell you all these fun things that I've done in my life, and it's all hazy.
Emotionally,
yeah, it's all hazy. It's all muted. It's all like, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like, dampened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think I just like that quote. And I like her little thing about self-forgiveness, too. Like, I know she tries to practice self-forgiveness. And it is, and to go back to what you said, it's okay to be angry, and it's okay to be sad, and all that stuff, you know. And it's also okay to feel like you're guilty, as long as you don't sit in it, you know.
Right. There was something else I wanted to mention when we were talking about Pete's letter, but I'm going to throw it in here, now that you mentioned the idea of guilt. I know I heard it on Just Break Up. That's my podcast I listen to every Monday and Wednesday because I am a patron.
Oh, boy.
But I don't know if they came up with this notion or if they borrowed it from somebody else, but I remember hearing it from them for the first time, and it was the idea that there is a difference between guilt and shame, and guilt suggests that you did something that you're not proud of, something wrong, but shame is more internal in that because of the wrong that you have done, you are now a bad person.
Mm.
And that's not true. unless, again, you're like a neo-Nazi
okay.
or something. It had to be said in 2020, okay?
It
just still has to be said.
Yeah.
But I think that that was a really powerful distinction to hear for the first time. And I think that if you are someone who struggles with the notion of forgiving yourself, whether or not you have a dependency on alcohol or a poor relationship with food or exercise, whatever, I think it's really important to be able to differentiate between guilt of something, because that's
like
an action, right? Because that's a normal response. Like, if you do something you're not proud of, feeling
guilty
is probably a healthy thing.
Fair enough.
Right? It would be probably.
But shame is inwards.
Right.
And.
Mm-hmm.
And.
And speaks more to your.
Who you. How you
the
feel
core
you
of.
Are
and your
of
worth,
your,
right?
As a person, yeah.
So just things to think about. I don't know.
That was good, man. You were full of it today. Full of good shit.
Ooh.
Ah, yeah, you can edit that one out. Or leave it in if you want to embarrass me.
Nah, it's fine. It's all good. It's all good. Are you ready to wrap this puppy up?
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, you can follow us on Instagram at showyourselfpod. Feel free to DM us, tag us in your favorite recovery posts, and submit your recovery-related questions or discussion topics. We do need more check-in topic ideas, so definitely shoot those our way to be featured on the podcast in the future. Just click on the link in our bio to submit questions for upcoming episodes.
Please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. We aim to reach as many people as possible, and your engagement with us online will help us do just that.
We're really glad you listened in with us today and hope you'll join us next time as we continue to show ourselves by growing and learning from each other. Thank you so much for listening.
High five. Thanks, guys.
Everybody have a great rest of your week.
Party on. Or don't.
Yeah, don't. That's okay.
No, that's a good one. You can still party and be sober.
No, yeah, you can party and be sober. Do that.
Yeah.
And have fun.
I feel like this is a funny outro. You should leave it.
And be safe. And make good choices.
Make good decisions. And don't spend all your money.
Don't spend all your allowance in one place.
I'm going to fix the